So, how do we start?
Hi, this is Aga and Łukasz, and this is Catching the Next Wave podcast, where we discuss the future of design.
And much more. Crossing boundaries, or borders. What are we crossing this season?
Does it matter?
You know, we have been empowered last season, so we are going to cross something.
What does it mean to you?
Thinking about this a little bit, but I couldn't decide on which level I want to interpret it. The one that comes first to my mind is connected to last season. And once you have this empowerment, meaning the ability to do something new or different, then you have to do this. And often it means going out of your comfort zone and crossing that boundary or border of your comfort zone. That's normally not easy.
No, it's not. What are the other levels?
It could be, if we stick to borders, it could be crossing physical borders or cultural borders. This is something we talked about recently on our walk. Changing countries is one thing, but also working on interacting with people from different countries and cultures. That requires a lot of attention, especially if a situation is not perfect. People do have different behaviors and reactions. Like your story from Nigeria, that people, you perceive them as very, what's the word I'm looking for? Confronting or aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe for them that's normal behavior.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, for me, the my probably first cultural boundary crossing comes from many, many years ago with our friend Madhu.
Oh, yes.
And it's, in a way, I think that right now it's a funny story, although it wasn't really funny when it happened. So when we both went to the Netherlands, we both started studying there. And I ended up at the program, which was called User System Interaction. And we've got 20 people in the program and 11 nations. So imagine the cultural variety that we've been experiencing. The thing for me was that I came from Poland, 95% of Polish people, white and Catholic. So your understanding of cultural differences is bottom zero. I don't think that it can be any less than what we had when we left Poland at the time. And I ended up in my first assignment with a guy from India. I was the only girl in the team. It was like four or five of us, and I was the only girl. And whenever I tried to say something, two things would happen. First of all, this Indian friend, he would start talking over me, like really loudly, really trying to, I don't know, silence me or
override
me. I didn't know. And the second thing was that he would never look into my eyes, which in Western cultures is at least impolite. I was getting really mad. And one other friend who was half Dutch, half Indonesian said, "Hey, wait, I'm going to talk to this Indian guy and I'm going to figure out what's going on." So what turned out to be the situation was the following. Madhu came from the highest caste in India, from the Brahmin caste. And I was effectively the first woman outside of his family he's ever interacted with. So obviously I came from Poland, not really understanding how to behave with other nations. He didn't understand it either. And he used two things he knew best from his own culture. And one was that whenever a woman has to say something, it means that the man didn't solve the problem. So for him, each time I was trying to say something was like a personal failure. And the second thing was that not looking into my eyes was the sign of the highest respect. So how wrong can that go?
Very.
Yeah, fortunately, the situation got resolved very quickly and we became very good friends. And so Madhu, hello, if you are listening. Yeah, so this indeed is crossing a boundary. But you said there is more things that you think about when you are thinking about crossing boundaries. What are the other things?
Something that also pops on my radar quite often. And last season, I think John Law and also April Mills were talking about this. And this is changing the industry. So John Law said how the influence with a small group of people, advertisement industry, which is supposed to be on the face of it like big and unmovable and entrenched. But also what April and also Mel, it's about changing industry or workplace on the inside, which requires basically a culture shift and a different way of, you know, behaving, thinking, treating people, approach to work, to business and everything.
Yeah, this is something really close to you, right? Like on the projects that you're working these days, this is exactly what you're doing.
I know,
on
I know
a day-to-day that. Basis.
That's why I'm coming back to this. It's constantly on my head. So when you ask whether this season should be about crossing boundaries or borders, those two words are related in English, at least. How about we call it crossing bees?
I like it.
Stand as a boundary, some as a border, or you can use them exchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I'm thinking about it from a slightly different perspective. And this comes from myself experiencing and reflecting on getting myself outside of my own status quo, which is a very different thing. So you were talking about organizations, you were talking about cultures. But very often we get stuck into who we are. And the scariest thing there is that we often don't really see that because this is who we are, right? So like, how are we supposed to see that we are stuck in something that may not be the best way of being?
Is it related to staying in a comfort zone or necessarily?
You may call it a comfort zone. I call it your personal status quo. I never thought whether there is a big difference between these two. Somehow I feel that there is.
But when you asked this question, it came to me that you could be stuck in your ways, even if it's not comfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's not really staying in a comfort zone, but still changing requires, again, an act of, I don't know, will, courage, whatever. So you're right, it's not exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like if you think about codependent relationships or like abusive relationships, people stay there, it's not comfortable, but this is a status quo, so they are staying in it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is an extreme case and I wasn't really referring to these kind of situations, but it's often like you stick to a position in an organization that is not really comfortable for you, but because of the status of it or because of the pay or because you're afraid to do something else, because you might think that you're not good enough for anything else, you stay in the situation. As I have myself experienced this a few years ago after doing the Alden BA, I've realized, so I was journaling about this for practically over a year.
Is it available somewhere?
It is available on Medium. If you are looking for Aga Szostek on Medium, there's plenty of articles about design, of course. But if you dig deeper and maybe into the earlier articles, a lot of them are about my battle with myself, really. So there were two things that I've realized. One was dealing with internal resistance to change. And as you know, I'm a big fan of the book by Steven Pressfield, The War of Art.
Oh, yes. Great book.
Yeah, and I read it like 1,000 times and I probably will read it another 1,000. Steven writes about the different ways how resistance is stopping us from doing our art. So doing what we would love to do.
And resistance is this inner voice.
Yeah,
right?
that keeps us from acting. So I started my journaling by figuring out what is my resistance. Being an optimist, I thought like it would be like maybe 6. Okay, maybe 10 ways of sabotaging my own creative self. 26 days later, I ended the list with 26 ways of doing that. And it freaked me out a little.
I haven't seen that list.
Oh, yeah. It's out there.
All right.
That was very revealing on the one hand. But on the other hand, you know, like when you face how you stop yourself from doing your stuff, you can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have this mirror and the mirror is unfortunately showing something. So that was my first exercise in this whole process. And the second thing that connects to me with crossing the borders was to understand what career meant to me. So we both are raised in a culture which is quite traditional, meaning that for our parents, having a steady job and having a sort of corporate career was something, or academic career, something to be very proud of. And that was, in a way, at least expected from me, that I would go to work in a corporation or at the university, and I would go into the highest level of managerial achievement there. I knew that I wanted to change, and I wanted to cross the border of being more full myself in terms of who I wanted to be. But of course, this voice that I've got in my head on the external expectations that were facing me since I was a child, they were there. And I remember my first switch went from doing one thing to doing exactly the same thing, just in a different environment. So I thought that I was crossing a border, but I didn't. I basically did more of the same. And I think that a lot of us might be running into this trap, that by sheer idea of movement, when we go from one thing to another, we think that we actually change something. And this is not necessarily the case.
There's something also I think April said, oscillation is not forward movement.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So this is my second thought on this cross border as a process. And the third one is about the fact that when we physically cross a border, like we go from one country to another, it lasts for a minute and you are from one place to another, right? So it may feel that it's a short exercise. It's something that's time bound.
The crossing itself is short. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I created my first design tool, the seed cards, I thought that, okay, I put so much effort into designing them and writing the instructions, writing the stories on the cards, creating the box, making them into a product, dealing with the production and so on. And then I thought, okay, like once they are there, I cross the border. That's it. And it was just the beginning. This crossing border hasn't happened like you cross the border between one country or one city to another. Suddenly it was taking time. Now I'm used to it, but it, for me, it turned from a moment to a quite a lengthy process. And this is something that requires perseverance and a lot of humility to stay in it. Mm-hmm. So this is something what crossing boundaries or crossing borders means to me from maybe slightly mm-hmm. different perspective.
So it sounds a little bit like the, if I continue your metaphor, that crossing is one thing, staying on the other side, that's the lengthy process. So you can break a pattern or you can change the country. Let's take a simple example of moving to a different country or even a different city, especially if it's of a different size. Like movement is, well, it could be a lot of stress and logistics and whatnot, but it takes a finite and not so long time. And then you are in the new place. But it doesn't mean that you are comfortable there. It doesn't mean that something will not pull you back through this, I want to say threshold, but we stick to B words. So border or boundary back to the old one.
Yeah, totally.
So maybe it's not really about crossing borders or boundaries, but staying on the other side, if that's what you choose. That seems to be the issue as well.
Yeah, I think that this is not one or the other. This is a continuum that requires determination.
Both of them, but are slightly of a different kind.
Exactly.
Don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
So I know that for you, the switch was going from corporate or industrial research to freelancing.
Yes. So if I go through my big crossing borders, moving out to Warsaw to study was the first really big one. Moving to the Netherlands was definitely a big one. That was both of us at that time. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I'm not going to say coming back to Poland. Moving to Poland was another one. But I think the scariest one was indeed losing not so much the R&D, but the corporate kind of
safety.
Well, it wasn't that safe in hindsight. Although I think if I didn't move, I still could be working there. But this seemingly safe job of big company and bosses and being part of like a huge mechanism and just going there on your own and earning money when you actually do deliver something to people, like proper value that they want to pay for. It's been quite a few years. And I remember what we just mentioned a minute ago, that there are two distinct acts. One is taking a decision and basically crossing this boundary or a border or a threshold and sticking to it, it's a completely different one.
On the more positive side,
it's very positive in hindsight, very positive. It was scary.
Yeah. The two things that I was just thinking as we were talking were that, first of all, we both read The Concept of Fragile and Antifragile by Nicholas Taleb. And I think that, interestingly enough, when I'm thinking about crossing boundaries or crossing borders, I'm not thinking of going from antifragile to fragile. I always think the other way around. So I kind of see it one directional, not two directional. I see it from being comfortable and safe into doing your art, doing something that you love to do, rather than going from your art to the corporate world. Interestingly.
Let's explore it a little bit. We can cut it out if it gets uncomfy. Mm-hmm. Not so long ago, and many years after you switched to being a freelancer, you did consider a corporate job.
That's true.
Even more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some attraction there.
Oh, definitely. Of course, all the old expectations kicked in, like, okay, I will have a position of a director. It will be a director of innovation. It sounds all super fancy. The big name attached to my title on my CV. Of course, the animalistic attraction of it doesn't go away.
Mm.
So it was very difficult to say no to this. But on the other hand, I was laughing that it was my fate testing me whether I was really sure that I crossed my border. So that was like, it threw it my way to say like, okay, like, are you sure you want to do what you want to do? I have to test you before we kind of go on with the other things. So maybe this sounds kind of weird, but in a way it felt this way.
Mm.
Okay, coming back to the positive side, the amazing thing that happened, I think both to us, is that once you decide to cross the border and you kind of open yourself up to do different things, the opportunities appear. So this is not like you do it and then you stay in a void because, okay, I crossed and, like, you know, nothing happens. But in a way, to follow the words of Douglas Adams, change your pattern and the world will award you.
Mm.
This happened to both of us, really.
It did. It's worth probably a separate discussion. I suspect it might be availability bias kicking in a little bit. Just because you are looking out for different things and paying attention to them, you just notice them.
Well,
I don't know, in this connected world, I mean, if you stay long enough on, I don't know, Facebook or LinkedIn or one of those, you probably will find something. Maybe not perfect, but at least, especially if you are starting something that you could give a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
never
right?
thought about that part.
Yeah. But there's another thing to it, is that once you cross the border, at least that's how it happened to me, and it might be due to my character, I crossed it, and I crossed it just a little bit. So, like, you know, I did my tour, I started writing a little bit more, so doing all the stuff that I always dreamed about. Then I dared to start doing the podcast. Then I dared to write more, and dared to do another tool. And now I'm starting doing more and more of the things that really give me a lot of fulfillment and pleasure. So what I'm seeing is that if you stick to your decision of being on the other side, and the further you go with it, the braver you become, and therefore the more interesting things can happen.
This reminds me of a friend of mine back from Orange days. I met him almost a month ago, and then he told me he changed his job. Just building on, you know, the further you are, the more brave you are. So he was working for Orange, at the company from which Orange evolved for, I think, 20 years. And then within the next year, he is on his third job. So the first one he picked was just a disaster. And then he got seduced to join another company by a friend of his. And that company was newly formed and like a remote part of some other big corporation. It was like really not a place for him. And he decided, no, that's not really a place for me. And he went on search again. And like after a month or something, he found another one because he's pretty good in what he does. But this was this like super extra acceleration, you know, like 20 years in the job and the next one, 2.5 months.
Yeah, so it seems that we've got quite a few directions to explore with this theme.
Yeah. You want to mention some guests that we hope to get? Or are we going to leave it as a surprise?
We can. So one big hope for me is that we could once more talk to John Law. I must say that the previous conversation in season two, for me, it was so amazing that I am hoping that John will agree and talk to us again, and we can go deeper into a number of subjects that he mentioned in the first conversation. It will be your first chance to talk to him as well. This is fingers crossed. I am hoping that we will talk to Alex Grotz, to our friend and a guy who was at the dawn of design thinking in the world.
That
at
was
IDEO.
Definitely crossing a border.
Oh, yeah. And also he is a co-founder of Proglove, one of the most successful startups in Germany. So there is a lot of things to explore also with his nomad life and being free to go wherever he wants to.
He's crossing all kinds of borders, agency to the startup, opening new business area and crossing borders because he flies all over the world and has no permanent home.
Yeah. So he said that last year he got information from Google that he flew 4.5 times around the world.
Oh, I hope he is flying business class because cattle class is unbearable.
Yeah. And my super, super, super big hope is that we will also have a chance to talk to Seth Godin.
Seth Godin talking about crossing borders big time.
Yeah, he is the quintessence of crossing borders and helping himself and others to leap and do the thing that they want to do.
Yeah. Also, again, on a big scale, like his approach to marketing is very different from what we still see.
Yeah. So there is plenty of subjects to explore with him. And if he says yes, then it will be a very exciting conversation.
Oh, yeah. I get to meet him first time as well.
Yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun again.
Yeah. And I must say that doing this podcast is turning into something I'm getting very addicted to.
So there will be season 3 for sure, maybe even season 4.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right. So we hope that you will join us and go through these conversations with us, and see you on the other side of season 3.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Catching the Next Wave podcast. We would love to hear from you on Twitter at Malka6 and at DLS6. You can find more details on www.catchingthenextwavepodcast.com.